We're in Isaiah chapter 6, verses 1 through 4 will be our focus today. And I want to tell you, this is such a powerful, powerful passage of Scripture that I'm in awe even reading this passage of Scripture. What I want to invite you to do is to stand with me for the reading of God's Word. Isaiah chapter 6, verses 1 through 4. If you don't have a copy of God's Word or a Bible app, you can follow along on the screens with us. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him stood the seraphim. Each had six wings. With two he covered his face, and with two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. And one called to another and said, "Kadosh, kadosh, kadosh, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." And the foundations of the thresholds shook at the voice of him who called, and the house was filled with smoke. Would you pray with me? Father, we humble ourselves before you this morning, and God, we acknowledge that we're on sacred ground, not because of who we are, but because of who you are. God, I pray that you will reveal yourself to us in a fresh encounter. God, that you will take us to a new level in our love relationship with you. And Lord, for those who don't know you, that today you will unveil your goodness and your glory. Lord, that you will draw people to yourself, just as you have done to so many of us. We can bear witness of that. Lord, we're in awe. In total awe of who you are and what you have been willing to do to give us this privilege. And we pray it in Jesus' name and for his name's sake. Amen and amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Isaiah is a very difficult book to find in the Old Testament. Isaiah is a very unique prophet that we have come to know in the Old Testament. And Isaiah 6 is such a profound encounter that God would give Isaiah this opportunity to experience God in such a real, fresh encounter. I want you to notice with me in verse 1 as we just walk through this together, and I'm going to give you a couple action steps to plug in. In the year that King Uzziah died. Now, that's a very important statement in the timetable of biblical history. Uzziah died around 740 BC. So when the Bible says in the year that King Uzziah died, it means in that time period. It may have been 12 months before, 12 months after, but in this time period, when Uzziah died, Isaiah has this incredible encounter. King Uzziah, his daddy was King Lachish. And his dad was assassinated. And then King Uzziah, who was just a teenager, Uzziah at age 16, a junior in high school, is elevated to be the king of Judah, age 16. And now he's reigning as king, and the Bible has good things to say about King Uzziah, and he reigned for 52 years, so he got to retirement age around 68, and he did many great things for the Lord and in activity of God, and we just can see amazing things that God did through Uzziah. But he failed to remove the high places of false worship. And near the end of his reign, he began to get filled with pride. And King Uzziah usurped the role of a priest. And he went into the temple and he chose to burn incense, which was a direct violation before a holy God. And God gave him leprosy. Now, King Uzziah is banned from the temple. It was really a grace gift from God. God could have struck him dead in the moment for violating such a sacred principle for a holy God. But instead, God gave him leprosy and he banned him from entrance into the temple. So King Uzziah goes from a life of influence to a life of isolation. So you can imagine Judah is in peril. Judah is now living in fear because the king is dead. The throne is empty. And it's in that deep, dark scenario, in that deep, dark environment and domain that Isaiah encounters God. And I want you to bring in that lesson in your own heart this morning. Maybe you're walking through a dark season of life. Maybe you look at the landscape of our culture. Maybe you do as I do every morning after I have my quiet time. I read USA Today on my app just to catch up on the latest news. And I want you to know, we live in a dark, decaying culture. But in that dark and decaying culture, it positions us for a great encounter of God and a great move of God. Because God shines his brightest light in the darkest of places and in the darkest of moments in your own life. Notice what happens in the year that King Uzziah died. I saw the Lord. When things were going downhill, when things were dismal, when it would have been so proper to be down and out, that's when I saw the Lord. When Judah's throne was vacant, God's throne was filled. God is still on his throne. God still rules. He still reigns. Now, there's been debate by scholars whether this was a heavenly vision or if this was a literal experience in the temple in Jerusalem where Isaiah lived. He saw the Lord sitting upon a throne, and that reminds us of God being enthroned, that he is on the throne, that God always has the final say. And we need to be reminded this morning that nothing catches God by surprise. King Uzziah's death did not catch God by surprise. King Uzziah's rebellion did not catch God by surprise. And nothing in our lives ever catches God off guard. Has it ever occurred to you that nothing ever occurs to God? So Isaiah saw the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, that exaltation in his rightful place. And notice, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Can you imagine the sight? Being overwhelmed by the presence of God and the holiness of God, and then the majesty of God, his royal robes flowing down, filling the temple. And above him stood the seraphim, the only time they are mentioned in Scripture. It literally means fiery ones, speaking of their passion and their focus, which we could bring in to our worship experience. Each had six wings with two. He covered his face, speaking of humility. And with two, covered his feet, speaking of service, available. And two, he flew, speaking of the activity of proclaiming God's holiness. And one said to another, holy, holy, holy. And don't miss that in Scripture. Whenever there's a repetition, holy, 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 it is in a Hebrew expression of this is a big deal. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God of hosts, that is God of armies. He is holy, holy, holy. And the whole earth is full of his glory. I love how John Piper packaged that concept of holiness is God's intrinsic nature. It's who he is. It's not what God has to become. God is holy. And when God reveals himself to us, when God displays his holiness in our culture upon this broken and fallen earth, when God shows up, when God reveals his holiness, he is revealing his glory. So glory is a public display of the holiness of God. Do you feel that? Can you sense his presence? Can you sense his nearness? Now, we're going to deal next Sunday with how can we, broken and fallen, selfish and self-absorbed, how can we approach a holy God? We'll deal with that next week, and it'll be powerful. Look at verse 4. And the foundations of the thresholds. You want to talk about taking an earthquake to a whole new level? And the foundations of the thresholds shook at the voice of him who called. Not the voice we watch on television to see who has the most beautiful singing voice based on a judge's panel. We're talking about the voice of the living God. And the house was filled with smoke. You may have noticed when during our service in this area, we have what looks like smoke coming out. And people get alarmed from time to time, thinking that maybe there's an electrical issue backstage. And it's called haze. It's called haze. And haze defines the light rays. When you see our lights and these incredible light rays that are turning, and even on our ceiling, things that are defined, it's because there's this product called haze. Now, I don't want you to come in next Sunday and focus on the haze. I want you to focus on the holiness of God. Why do we have the haze? To define the light rays. Why do we have this lighting? To create an environment so that we can focus on the holiness of God. The house was filled with smoke. Now, there are two action steps I want you to write down or type or send to a friend. Here's the first one. Let's elevate our awareness of who God is. I think that would be a good next step for us. With 50% of our attenders, members, and 50% new, with 50% joining us in the last 24 months and 41% joining us in the last year, and then 24% joining us within the last month, I want to say to you, as your shepherd, as your pastor, as your maybe new friend, maybe you're just checking out Champion Forest North Klein, what I want to say to you is this: what if collectively we chose to elevate our awareness of who God is? Now, here's what we need to stop doing. Are you ready? Let's stop referencing God as the man upstairs. Can we come into agreement? So on this campus, when you say the man upstairs, you're talking about a man upstairs in our life group class, somewhere upstairs in life group. But let's not reference God as the man upstairs. And then I also want to say, let's guard against practical atheism. Now, you would argue and say, but Pastor Stephen, I'm not an atheist. But it's very easy for a believer to become a practical atheist. And here's what I mean by that. That you believe there is a God, but you live as though there's not. That's practical atheism. You believe there is a God, but living out your life as though there's not really a God. So let's elevate our awareness of who God is. And what we're learning is God is holy. That means he's perfect, he's blameless, but it also means he is transcendent. He is other than. He's bigger than. He's beyond. And when you say God, that's a mouthful. You don't have to support God with any other adjective. When you say God, you've said it all. And please, anytime you write or type or text or email or Snapchat or Instagram or tweet, please do not use God with a lowercase g. He's sovereign. He's supreme. We embrace his immanence and that he's so personal, yet we also understand that he is transcendent. And when we come to know God for who he is, it realigns our priorities. And so often we try to bump God off of the throne so that we can be enthroned, and that's called narcissism, where we want to be in charge and we want to have it our way, and we try to dethrone God and be enthroned. And that's also called idolatry, whether we're worshiping ourselves or we let somebody else get on the throne of our lives instead of God. See God for who He is, and everything else finds its place around the throne of God. God is eternal. What that means is God has never been born and He'll never die. God doesn't celebrate His own birthday. There is no birth date to celebrate. God is eternal. He's always been and He'll always be. And God is immutable. What that means is He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. You can anchor your life to the character and nature of God. He's perfect. Action step number two. Everybody okay? Let's elevate our anticipation of encountering God's presence. Now, we're going to have to work on this. Let's elevate our anticipation of encountering God's presence. Now, some of you would say that you're ADD. It's very interesting. When we go to Louisiana, sometimes we'll bump into one of my former elementary teachers or middle school teachers or high school teachers, and when they find out I became a pastor, you ought to see their jaw drop to the floor. And then Tanya gets involved in the conversation, and Tanya was a teacher for 10 years, so she can talk teacher talk like y'all do. And before ADD was a reality and was really identified, in our 28 years of marriage, looking back over my upbringing up in my schooling, Tanya has identified that without question you were ADD. And then I meet up with a teacher and she would say, oh, if that's low grade, yes, I would say definitely that. I just had a hard time paying attention. I was a boy. I wanted to do something fun. I wanted to build something. I wanted to tear something down. I didn't want to sit there in an air-conditioned classroom at a desk all day long. I was racing motocross. I was jumping off of houses with three garbage bags thinking it was a parachute, and it didn't work. So I loved living on the edge, and I loved that adrenaline. And so my entire life, I've had to really focus on focusing. And usually when I go in any environment, I sit on the front row up close. You know why? Because I don't want to get distracted. And I mean, I have to really work on staying laser focused. I can see in my peripheral vision, somebody's gotten up and moved over, and I don't even look over there. But I can just feel it. What if we elevated our anticipation of encountering God's presence? Now, I want to speak of specifically our corporate worship experience, that we start coming to this house of worship, not to worship, but let's come worshiping. Let's come worshiping. Let's come with great anticipation that as a family of faith with our guests, we're coming to meet with God. We're coming to encounter God. We're coming to worship our holy God. And come with anticipation. There's so many stories I could share about that. Let's remember that worship is only for God and it's only about God. It's vertical. It's all about Him. And we are not here to watch others worship, though worship is a witness. We are here to worship God. Now, worship is a verb. It's not something you observe, it's something you do. Worship is a verb. And worship is a witness. So do be conscientious about your public worship in this house, because your worship will either encourage other people or discourage. Your worship will compel them to go vertical, or it will repel them to stay horizontal. That your worship does matter, and God wants you to be so laser focused on adoring Him and worshiping Him and esteeming Him and ascribing worth to Him that it draws other people into that experience. And worship is not about our personal preferences. You know, we used to battle what's called the worship wars, and it was about the music. It's always about the music. And we don't have to fight that anymore. We've got delivered from that. But years ago, we had to combat these worship wars, and we'd have people counting how many hymns we'd sing and how many choruses. Like there's a formula. And if you called a service traditions, it had to be a certain setup. If you called it blended, a certain setup. And if you called it contemporary, it had to have a totally different ratio. And if you didn't meet up to their understanding of the ratio for contemporary, then you shouldn't call it contemporary. It needs to be called blended. And we walked through that and we navigated that probably, well, for several years. And then we just got delivered from it and said, you know what? Worship's all about encountering a holy God and helping people be positioned to encounter God. And we're not going to make it about personal preference. Because here's the reality. You have 167 hours of the week to embrace your personal preference. We're asking you to give us 1 hour to focus on a holy God. And we're going to utilize music in this house that will draw people into the presence of God and move people in a very intentional way to experience God. And you may say, but it's too loud. That bass just really rattles the building. And I want to hear the music, not feel it. But then you got a whole other portion of congregation and guests saying, well, I want to feel it. And there's no way to please everybody. So we're going to be anchored and focused on pleasing God. And we're going to ask you to set aside your personal preferences for 1 hour. Then when you get in the parking lot, you get on that radio or that XM or Sirius, whatever you have, or CD or MP3, whatever you choose to use, even if you have an 8-track player in your vehicle, and I'd have to explain what that is to many people in the room, whatever you choose to listen to during the week, enjoy it for 167 hours. But would you be willing to sacrifice 1 hour of preference to be a blessing and benefit to others and to honor God? Now, fortunately, we don't have that issue here. I just wanted to say it since we're Facebook Live to minister to other churches in America and around the world. Well, let me wrap up with this. I think this would be very practical for all of us to embrace together as a family. Steps to take to elevate the priority of worship. Steps to take to elevate the priority of worship. Now I'm talking about this service, our 9:30 service, our 11 o'clock service, then our 1 o'clock Spanish service. Number one, be on time and come prepared. I know there's unusual circumstances. If you have to come in late, our ushers are so trained to bring you to the front row. That's just what we do. And I get tickled every time. So it pays to be on time. Be on time and come prepared and prepare your heart. Number two, be considerate of others. Be considerate of others. And what I mean by that, if you'd be willing when you come into this worship center and you find where you like to sit in your area, if you like to sit on the end aisle and you anchor down there and the whole row is empty, then what happens when people come in, they're like, oop, I'm not going to step over that person to get inside the middle. And so you've become a roadblock. So I want to just challenge you in love, move into the middle. And I want to personally encourage you, move into the middle and come forward. Move into the middle, come forward. Now, I know it's going to create this amazing momentum for people to come late. If you go late, you get to sit in the back at the 50-yard line. And I know that, but we're beyond that. We're more mature than that, right? That was not a really good response. We're more mature than that, right? And then number three, I want to encourage you to bring your Bible. Bring your Bible or the Bible app on your smartphone. I just love to have my Bible. I have my quiet time every morning with my Bible. I have a reading plan on my smartphone because it tracks it. Then I hold my Bible. I just want to hold my leather Bible and spend time in God's Word. So bring your Bible or a Bible app on your smartphone. Number four, bring your passion. Bring your passion. Don't leave your passion in the parking lot. Don't leave your passion on Saturday, college football game day. Bring your passion with you. I promise you, the tomb being empty and the death and hell being defeated is so much more than a leather ball going across a white chalk line or painted line. And you didn't like that team anyway, and you shouted. Bring your passion. Bring your passion. Number five, take notes and post quotes. Take notes and post quotes. I want you to leverage social media to get the gospel out. Now, if you quote, be sure you're accurate. Can I have an amen? Take notes and post quotes. The reason we take notes is it just elevates your retention level. If you only listen auditorily to a message, you'll retain about 5%. But if you'll listen and write and engage the material, the percentage skyrockets. And then number six, stay until the end. Stay until the end. And you've been so good about that, and that means so much to me. I appreciate it. We're very time conscious, super time conscious. I have a clock on my iPhone right here that you can see on the back row, can't you? I'm very time conscious, very committed to being on time, being in the pulpit on time, stepping down on time, and releasing for people to go to life group on time. Very time conscious, and I'm going to ask you to stay to the end because we're going to honor your time. And then number seven, invite someone to join you in a worship venue. This is a really cool space to just invite somebody to come check it out. Hey, why don't you come join me Sunday at 9:30 at Chamois Forest North Klein. Just Google North Klein and it pops up. Just invite somebody to come join you in a venue. And if you get here really early, you can come sit on the front row with them. I think that's the best experience for our first-time guest. On Wednesday night, when we launched our Wednesday night programming, I was teaching in the atrium, and we had round tables set up, and it was so awesome having one of our guys come in with his wife. He said, I want to sit in the spit zone. I was like, walk with me. And I put him right at the front row, right where I spit when I speak, and it was wonderful. He just felt the power of God on him. And remember, mission flows out of worship. Mission flows out of worship. So when we flow out of this worship gathering, we're embracing our mission field. And our mission field is to invite other people into the journey. And I think a wonderful invite is, join me in a worship venue at Champion Force. Now let's talk about you for a moment. Can we do that? Look at me quickly. Let's talk about you. Do you know God personally? That's the most important question you'll ever answer in your lifetime. Do you know God personally? Have you come into relationship with Jesus Christ? Have you turned from sin and trusted in Jesus alone for salvation? Have you experienced a divine transaction where you confess your sin and you invite Jesus Christ to become your Lord and your Savior? And in that moment, you become a child of God. We're going to invite you, if you want to make that decision, and I encourage you to do that. Many in this room have already made that decision, to come to my left and your right, right here by the cross at the baptistry. We're going to have prayer partners available. And when you walk to any one of them, they'll just ask, hi, what's your name? What's on your heart? And you can share your name and then say, I want to be saved. I want to go to heaven. I want to know the Lord. You can say anything like that. And they'll share with you how you can know God personally through a saving relationship with Jesus Christ. Question number two. How's your private worship? How's your private worship? And what I want to encourage you is to start having a daily quiet time, just time alone with God. You can choose a book of the Bible and just read through it verse by verse, and you can journal using SOAP, scripture, observation, application, prayer, and just journal some notes and write a prayer out. Just have some time alone with God. That's called a daily quiet time. And then throughout the day, you just practice His presence and you look to see where God's been at work in your life and you look to see His activity so that you can join Him in what He's doing. And what's so powerful, God will always connect your quiet time to your daytime activity. It's awesome. So start your day off with private worship. Number three, how's your public worship? How's your public worship? What needed adjustments do you need to make to elevate your worship here? Then I want to challenge you to expand your vision of who God is and what worship's all about and express your passion. Express your passion. Now, if you're not careful, you'll misdefine reverence. Some say that reverence is silence. So when you're not silent, you're irreverent. Sometimes the most sacred thing you can do is be silent. Be still and know that He is God. Sometimes the most reverent thing you can do is get on your face before God in public worship and just lay before God on the floor. Sometimes the most reverent thing you can do is kneel before the Lord, get on your knees and just pray and cry out to God or worship God from your knees. Sometimes the most reverent thing you can do is clap unto the Lord. Sometimes the most reverent thing you can do is lift your hands in worship. This is most Baptists right here. You see this? Waist high. That's our limit. We're worshiping God. Woo, I hope nobody's going to see this. They're going to think I'm over the edge. Listen, get over the edge and raise your hands up and praise our holy God. Because when we get to heaven, I don't want any of us to be in cultural shock because we've been worshiping God like this, afraid of what other people are going to say. And you're going to get to heaven and place your hand in the nail-scarred hands of Jesus. Your hands are going to go up and you're going to praise Him and worship Him. And you're not going to care who is watching you. Some of you say, well, all right, I'll go to here. And that's a great start. Would you pray with me? Father, we love you and praise you. And we're in awe of who you are. Lord, I pray that the awe of your holiness, your righteousness, your purity will not leave us when we leave this room. But they will, Lord, help us to be conscious of your presence 24/7, 365. And that's our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks so much for joining us today. We pray that the truth of God's word is both encouraging and uplifting to you. If you'd like more information about our church, service times, or locations, or if you have a question about what you heard today and you want to connect with someone, I want to encourage you to visit us on our website at championforest.org. Have a great day, and God bless.